-3 is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older.
-3 with Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new -3 presented as ever by our pals over at Omaha. No time to waste. The draft is almost here. The NBA playoffs are here, or at least the play-in games are. The puck's going to be dropped in the Stanley Cup playoffs soon. Eddie Spaghetti's going to watch one of those teams this very night, Monday night. Eddie Spaghetti is in New York to go watch his Rags try and wind up the regular season a little more favorably than it appears the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to. Like I say, we don't have time to talk about anything beyond giving a hearty congratulations to Scotty Scheffler. Cool stuff watching him win the Masters. Great times watching Vern. Boy, we're going to miss him, one of the all-time greats. We'll get into that as the week rolls on, honoring Vern and his place among the greatest play-by-play guys of all time. As a matter of fact, we're going to have a little bit of extra time to do it because we're going 3 episodes a week going forward here. Looking forward to doing that. Right now, let's kick it off with some NFL draft coverage with one of our very favorites, our pal Jeff Schwartz. Let me squeeze in a quick break here. You know, when the conversation turns Stampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up. Omaha Full. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, here he is. He needs no introduction, but let me cobble one together for him anyway. He is on the digital wall of fame for all of time, one of our favorite talkers on the game of football, and maybe more importantly, the game of life. You can listen to him at your leisure, wherever you find your podcast. Jeff Schwartz is smarter than you, also doing stuff always for Fox Sports. He is one of the actual go-tos when you want some info on offensive linemen, everybody else is just yapping to hear themselves yap, I guess. He's Mitchell Schwartz's brother. He's Jeff Schwartz. What's the poop, fella? How are you?
Breaking news, by the way. Did you know that players often take visits to teams during the draft process? And it becomes, it's breaking news. I just saw Brock Bowers. He's visiting with the Jets. Breaking news.
You and I keep our eyes on this thing because, you know, listen, for some people, football season is like a 17-week thing. Some people, the playoffs, some people dabble in the draft. But Schwartz and Damashek, 365, and we always are fascinated by where the scouts are. Are they scouting players? Are they doing their jobs? Because it seems noteworthy to other people out there, like, hey, there's scouts in attendance at this college football game that has quarterbacks that are likely to be drafted, and somehow we're supposed to be surprised by their attendance.
Also, like,
low expectations.
The thing about it, too, like, for some teams, like Pittsburgh, for example, the Steelers, they only draft guys that they have visit, right? Like, that's a thing. Like, they've shown over the years, like, they draft a lot of guys they have visit. But you hear so many stories about players getting drafted, like, I never talked to that team once. Like, you know, like my brother in the Browns. I think we had no idea the Browns even liked him. Like, zero idea. And the Browns drafted him. We thought he was going to Atlanta. Atlanta showed a ton of interest in him, and it was like pick 55. We thought he was going to Atlanta. Like, these, sometimes you get drafted by a team you never visited. Yeah, you meet with them at the combine very briefly, maybe, or someone like it. And so the idea that, like, yeah, Brock Bowers might go to the Jets at 10, certainly possible, or offensive line, or maybe they throw a random, maybe a wide receiver drops to 10. They want to draft another wideout. Like, it's so funny how seriously people take some of this pre-draft stuff when it's just everyone does it. They get 30 visits. They all take them. You know, I saw that the Commanders are hosting McCarthy. They hosted May. They hosted Daniels. Like, yeah, McCarthy makes sense for them to host. They're trying to figure out what quarterback they want to draft. Everyone's talking about McCarthy going in the top four now. So it makes total sense. They would want to visit with McCarthy. So it's just funny how we're like always sort of waiting for this breaking news and wanting to break news when this is not breaking news at all, but it is fun to talk about when it comes to the context of the draft.
I wouldn't have a beef with it if it was like a one-off by the media. Like, here's how we're going to cover this newfangled thing called the draft. We're going to take student athletes and bring them into the pro level via a draft where all 32 teams will have a chance to take one of those student athletes. We saw it last year, and we saw it the year before that. It is always treated like new information. What? A guy's meeting with that? What does this mean? And you just saw all this jive a year ago, didn't you? Did you get bumped on the head? Now you have amnesia and you're back to square one. Anyway, I have some questions about what it's like to be in your boots and hear the questions that the teams ask you and everything else. But to the matter at hand, some draft stuff. Let's start with the fun side of things. We did this with Chris Long. By the way, Chris Long of the Greenlight Podcast Network, he and his brother Kyle are burning up the airwaves doing it. You're doing great work yourself, but you're doing it yourself. Also, you may have heard about the Kelsey brothers doing big stuff in the world. Well, yeah, I'm not going to go into that. I'm not about to sit here and talk about them. Not when I have Mitchell Schwartz's brother on the line. When are we getting the Schwartz brothers? This is the minimum standard of what you need to do as an ex-football player is join up with your brother and make a show.
I tried to do the Kelsey thing before it happened. Now, I will admit that my brother and I are not as charismatic and we're not dating Taylor Swift, so probably would not have been as a success. But I tried, man, and he just didn't want to do it. I don't know. It's not like he's doing other media instead of doing a podcast with me. My brother is focused on me. I mean, he's like, no, I'm not doing it with you, but I'll do a podcast with someone else. He just doesn't want to do media. He focuses a lot of attention on his golf game. He loves to golf. It's what a lot of his mind goes to now, and he practices a bunch and plays a bunch and doesn't really want to get into the media game. So I tried. It's not going to happen. The Kelsey Brothers podcast, the reaction from people is just, it's the best. It's the perfect internet thing, right? You know, Travis Kelsey gets a fake diploma, right? And he smashes the beer. Like, he just, and everyone's like, how dare you disrespect Cincinnati? And Jason's like, that wasn't a real diploma. They just gave it to us because we were there doing like a fundraiser for them. Like, wait, everyone take a deep breath, everyone. So, It's a good podcast, though.
It's small world because the producer of it, I don't know, creator of, but I don't want to give him too much credit, but our old guy, Black Tie, who has more reasons to celebrate than just professional at the time of this recording. Happy for all those guys because they're swell fellows from little I know of the Kelseys. My exposure they're to great. Them is that they're super funny and nice guys. Yeah. And our guy Black Tie is obviously one of our favorites. All right, listen. I mentioned Chris Long because he was on last week and we talked about the fun exercise to do. We've been over all the prospects. We'll get into them in just a second here, offensive linemen specifically. But while I have you, Chris Long went through his three pro football teams plus the Pittsburgh Steelers and answered this question. You can have any player from the franchise's history in his prime for one season, 2024, you're plugging him in to the 2024 roster. Let's start with the Carolina Panthers. Anybody from the franchise's history? I will say Eddie Spaghetti last week went Eli Manning for his Giants. I thought that was a little easy. You're better than that. You're not a novice.
I changed it. I said
that's right. You did. You're right.
Because you hated that pick, so I said I'll go Plaxico.
Do you think that Eli Manning in his prime, if you plugged him in there, would be enough to make the Giants the favorite to win the NFC East in 2024?
In his prime?
Yeah, his best year. He's going to play his best year coming up right now.
The team is situated right now, I would say they're not going to be the favorite, no.
Even with Eli.
But then again, even when he was there, they weren't the favorite some years and won two Super Bowls. So what do I know? Okay, Carolina Panthers. So this is fun, right? Because they're a long way away from, I'd say, winning a championship. So you could easily say Cam Newton or Jake Delhomme, right? Someone like that. But, I mean, don't you have to bring back the best player in franchise history, Julius Peppers? Like, that's just – bring him back and let him sack the quarterback and try to help you win football games. Otherwise, like, you're not – I mean, you could bring Steve Smith back. I'd argue that would maybe help with Bryce Young. But you're not, like, a wide receiver away from – being good. I just bring a guy in that can hit the quarterback every single game and get 10 to 15 sacks a season and and be a leader for your team. That's maybe what I would do. Or I look, the other guys I would consider, I would stick
Greg
with
Olsen.
The line. I would do Greg Olsen too, would be a good one. Even a Ryan Clio at center, with a young quarterback, having a player like that, a Jordan Gross at left tackle. Olsen's a good one because Olsen could really help the young quarterback and be able to facilitate more offense. That probably, that's probably a little better than mine. I feel like I think Olsen would be the one because he'd help Bryce Young the most, right? Out of anyone we talked about. And they're going to draft wide receiver this year. I just went to Pep because he's incredible. And, anytime you get a Hall of Famer, you can put back on your roster. I would do it. Olsen will be a Hall of Famer too, eventually. So, they'll have two.
I wonder if Greg Wilson will be a Hall of Famer, but, he kind of deserves it.
Career, do you know his broadcasting career helps those type of things?
I think it does. Right, it keeps you relevant and references back to it. But I do think also then you come to be known as a broadcaster and people forget that you ever played. But I mean, as much as fun as I've made of Cam Newton and as much as I've celebrated Cam for his 2015 MVP season, 15-1 and all of that. And I always point to how can you denounce Cam Newton's greatness as a football player when he went to the Super Bowl with Philly Brown and Ted Ginn, but he did have Greg Olsen. And that was a massive factor too, that I always gloss over there.
Yeah. Olsen had 3,000 yards. Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Probably not in the Hall of Fame.
Not the guy. Or maybe Philly Brown should be your choice here, but we'll move on from the Panthers.
Hall of very good.
Next up, the Minnesota Vikings. You can plug in one guy.
Ooh.
You can see there's an obvious answer. I'm sure everybody's thinking Randy Moss, right? Except
Kirk Cousins.
You want to? right. Well, that's, that's what Chris Long did for the Rams. He said Aaron Donald, which is hard to debate, really. Although Eric Dickerson would be a fun add to.
Looking at they need quarterback though, right? Like that's the thing they need right now. So you have to look at quarterback. I mean, is it
Tommy Kramer? maybe Sir Francis, maybe Dante Culpepper.
Fran Tarkenton back. You bring him back. That's one thing I love about a sport we both like in baseball. We're like, a guy have a good game. Like that was what happened in 1912. You're like, you would never do that in the NFL. Like we'd never pick, Fran Tarkenton for this exercise. Right. I mean, just he played so long ago. I think that all of us would be like, I don't know. Maybe he could play well now, in this sort of And
well, it's funny because I just for the record, to me, the clock starts in pro football with the Super Bowl era. You could also go if
he's
you
in there.
Do
okay.
That, you could do the AFL NFL merger. So from Super Bowl V on, you could go the Mel Blount rule, which is probably the most impactful to the what we look at kind of flow of the game during the Super Bowl era. So that's 1978, the start of free agency, whatever that is, 93, 94 ish. And then the weird QB centric rules
been sprinkled
through the last 25 years. Yeah. So those are the inflection points.
I'm looking at some guys around. Can we do like, does Warren Moon count? He was there 2 years, like Warren Moon's best, or is it when you play with that team, how good you were?
I mean, I guess. Yeah, no, you cannot. No. See, I think that's breaking the rules. Okay. You can't say Warren Moon at his best for the Houston Oilers. It's got to be.
Okay. Fair. Yeah. Okay. That's fair. I mean, quarterback, right? So it's got to be Culpepper, Cousins, whoever you think is the best quarterback in Vikings history. I think have to be the guy you bring in. I mean, I can make an argument. You bring in, you know, Adrian Peterson and you just run the ball. And
that's a fun one.
Or protect a young quarterback. Or you could bring in Moss or Chris Carter and have a target. I mean, those would be the answers, right? It'd be someone to help on offense more than anything else.
Well, unless you want to go with the best defensive player, one of the best defensive players of all time, Alan Page, drop him on the defensive front and you're going to be a lot better in the division where you need it.
But the same thing with the Panthers though, right? Like the importance of this, of the team right now is getting better on offense. And they're not going to go anywhere. You bring Alan Page in there, their fate's no different. They need a quarterback. And so you got to look at taking a quarterback.
If they hit on the right quarterback, the Vikings, the way it's breaking, as you look at the flow and all the mock drafts and everything else, it seems to me like they're positioned about as well as anybody. I don't know why I'm almost whispering this. I don't want the news to get out, maybe. But do you see it that way? That based on, you know, the thing that happens as the draft analysis wears on for another week and another month that started, you know, in August last year, is it those names as they stack up, the quarterbacks as you see that now, it's like, okay, there are four options for you to take a quarterback in the first round here and maybe four and a half. Let's start there. How many QBs are going to go?
In the first round?
Yeah.
I think five will go in the first round.
I think so too.
I think Penix will go and Bo will be top of the second round. But I could see, look, this is a draft where teams, like Denver needs a quarterback, Dave. Like they have to end the first round with a quarterback. And let's just say no one moves from where they're at. They'll have the fifth quarterback to choose from. Is it Penix or is it Bo Nix? I don't know. But there could be a surprise team that trades up. Like, what if the Raiders trade up in front of the Vikings and Broncos? You end up with six guys drafted in the top 12 of quarterbacks. I mean, it's certainly possible, right? Like, that ends up happening because that position is such a... The Vikings, though, like, to me, outside of Caleb Williams, I'm not sure Drake May or Jaden Daniels or McCarthy or Nix or Penix, like, trade up for guys. You know, like, if Minnesota trades up to four... for McCarthy, that feels pretty rich for McCarthy, right? Like, you need him to then play well. You won't have your first round pick next year. I mean, like, you're giving up a lot for McCarthy, who may be good, Dave, but a lot of it is projection. Like, he might be good. He has some good throws. He does some good things, but we got to see more from him. And I'm not sure that's a guy you want to trade up for. You want to trade up for Patrick Mahomes, right? Now, that's the rarity, of course. You know, a lot of times it's trading up for Trubisky or for Carson Wentz, right? Like, those are a lot of times you trade up for guys, and the guy you haven't traded for is not that great. Trading back, by the way, is always the answer. But I'd be too scared.
I like the sweet spot of, like, not having to make the choice. Like, these two guys are really good, but one's going to be better. You choose. No, you choose, and I'll take the other option. And then at least I have the excuse of, like, you're the one who'd made the choice. It wasn't me. I was left with no choices other than this one. So now we have to ride. I wouldn't trade back. I would feel like I'd be thumbing my nose at the football gods to do that.
Well,
like,
your high-end pick
doesn't interest me.
It just depends on your draft grades, essentially, the trading back. But the point is, like, I'm not sure Minnesota trading up for any quarterback outside Caleb Williams changes their fortune, because changes their division fortunes, Dave. Because the thing about it is, Caleb Williams almost immediately becomes the best quarterback in the division. Like, the Bears are set up really, really well. If Caleb Williams is as good as I think he can be, then he comes in right now. He might not be better than Jordan Love and Jared Goff at this moment, but by the end of year one, probably will be. And now you're looking at Minnesota with McCarthy or someone else, and they're at best third. I mean, Goff.
Well, the way it can break is though. I mean, it you know, all the rumors and all that kind of stuff, but you know, it could wind up that the Vikes have a shot to get May or maybe Daniels, but McCarthy. The thing that happens though in our collective brain, I feel like, is that so Caleb Williams is now understood to be, for all the debates that have gone on for 3 months, like, okay, it's enough with this. Caleb Williams is the number one. But you'll remember 6 weeks ago, it was like, I don't know, maybe Jaden Daniels is the better bet, or maybe Drake May is the guy, is the way to go, and all of that kind of stuff. Now it's settled, and it feels like Caleb Williams is definitely going to go to Chicago.
Yes.
We agree on that, right? No, but there's no, it's all jive at this point that he could force his way out of there, or they would move out of there. Okay.
Why?
But then it's we get into this tier thing of like, oh, well, those guys have now proven whatever they needed to prove and are now not just probably going to go in the first, but they're going to go in the top dozen picks of the thing. And so then we convince ourselves that they're now worthy of being picked in that spot. Yeah. But of course, we also know that half of those guys are going to bust out drafting them at that spot. So divine for us as best you can. Who are the guys that, I don't know, let's be fair. Let's not even say by the end of their rookie seasons. Let's say 2 years from now, who's it understood? Like, boy, blank team really made a mistake taking blank at quarterback, I mean, with the fifth overall.
Probably McCarthy, if we're taking Nix or Penny. Like, the thing about quarterbacks though, Dave, is that the draft grade, to me, teams ignore that because of the value of that position, right? So for example, most teams don't have 32 first round grades on guys. They have like 20, right? So the guys at the end of the first round that you're drafting typically aren't guys with first round grades. You have them graded high on your board, but
I would go the other way. I would say they probably have like, they're 50 guys that are viable.
Everyone always says it's about 20, about 20. But again, like, you know, a high second round grade can be a first round grade, and it's silly. I think McCarthy, Nix, and Penix for most teams have that upper second round grade, but because of their positional value and the thirst, like Denver's the one, right? We're like, they need a quarterback, and they're not going with Jared Stidham and whoever else is, like, they're not doing that, right? And Sean Payton's in win now mode, and they need a quarterback. I don't know if McCarthy, Nix, or Penix is graded in the first round for them, but they need that guy, Dave, right? So you have to go up and get him, or hope it at 12 you're able to draft the guy you want. You know, people said that's maybe Bo Nix. He fits that system a little bit better than Michael Penix does. I don't know. But that's what makes the draft, especially this one, so interesting at the top, is because quarterbacks like Arizona could trade. I can see New England, Arizona wanting to get back, the Chargers moving back, and it's all a trade up to get those quarterbacks.
All right. I mean, you say things that then I want to go 15 minutes in another direction, but I'm going to try to be disciplined here and return back to some of those little kernels you just dropped there and stick to what we were talking about here. So the Minnesota Vikings, you say they go quarterback. I say that's too easy. You're not a novice, Jeff Schwartz. You should have to avoid in the quarterback league a Hall of Fame level quarterback that you're going to plug in. Too easy for you, I say. But okay, Adrian Peterson's a fun one.
What about Ron Yeary? Just go Hall of Fame offensive lineman.
Perfect. it's almost too easy to say Hall of Famer. You should have to be a non-Hall of Famer to raise the standard a little bit. But okay, we're doing what we're doing. Well, let's finish it off here. The Kansas City Chiefs. You don't know these guys, but Carlos Carson, Stephon Page, Tamrick Vanover. These were 80s wide receivers, burners for
Kansas. I mean, this is the easy one, but I would bring Derek Thomas back.
That'd be great. Boy, can you imagine that?
Like, because, you know, Chris Jones with him and Karloftis, we know the offense can survive without a wide receiver. That's, you know, that's great. And they're going to probably be without Rice, I imagine, for some portion this year, Dave. So it's going to be even tougher for the offense without him in the lineup at some point. To me, it would be, I mean, you bring Thomas back. Holy heck, man. Like, you end up with an incredible pass rush with the young secondary you have.
Wait, hold on a second. I'm sorry. It's got to be Tony Gonzalez though, right? What about you go Kelce and Tony Gonzalez, and then you have two of the three best tight ends in the history of people out there at once.
You don't need that in offense. We saw last year they're fine. Just add a wide receiver and be done with it. Like they add a wide receiver in the draft. Like they don't Gonzalez would be great. Don't get me wrong, but rushing the passer combined with their cornerbacks and linebackers, to me, that's how I would do it.
Go get Barry Word or the Nigerian nightmare, Christian Okoye. Really bang up on all those AFC pretty boys. But
he doesn't need a running back.
I know. Yeah, I'm just tired. I'm just in the way back machine. That's all. By the way, quickly, Rashee Rice, if he hadn't existed, his shoes would have been filled by another pass catcher in January of 2024. I don't know if the Chiefs would have won the Super Bowl if it hadn't been Rashee Rice specifically playing in that spot. So what do they do now? This is a mess. Doesn't this further force their hand that they have to do something at receiver? Am I a prisoner of the moment?
No, I actually wrote about
this. No pun intended. He's going to be a prisoner, but he should be that kind of behavior is outrageous. But
set aside, I don't know if he goes to jail or not, but he will be suspended.
No, I don't know. What do I know?
He'll be suspended and, for at some point, possibly, unless the Chiefs try to, delay it and appeal it until next season, which certainly happens in the NFL. I wrote this for Fox Sports. Like, I wasn't sure if they would go wide receiver because the Chiefs at 32 have done many different things. They drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They didn't really need a running back, and that has not worked out. They drafted that defensive end last year from Kansas State, and no one had on the radar they would draft. I mean, they're at 32, wide receiver, offensive tackle, which probably won't be available at that point. Corner, they might have a corner available at 32. To me, it's wide receiver, right? And now, of course, if Rice is out a month, you need that guy. You need someone else. You need you lost MVS. There's a couple guys maybe in that 32 spot to take over that role as a deep wide receiver who catches the ball more frequently. You have Rice. You have Brown now, and maybe Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney have some sort of help. You have Watson, who's not bad. You have Ross. Hopefully he's healthy. I mean, there's some other players there, but you got to go wide receiver at 32, in my opinion, unless you love someone at 64. I mean, maybe, but I think you take someone at 32.
Have the Chiefs, by the way, have they sort of transcended the rough spot? I said, because you've made fun of me endlessly for saying it, but when Mahomes signed his big deal, I said, okay, so then there's the year lag before it kicks in that money starts to hurt the overall roster. And I said, well, he's been on his best team. Doesn't mean he's never going to win again. It just means that the standard is raised for Mahomes. Yeah. And then since I said that, they've won two Super Bowls, which doesn't make me wrong. It just means that Mahomes has been dynamite.
But in 22, the money hadn't really kicked in yet. This is the first year where it kicked in.
But is it now offset by, do you reach a certain level, almost in an NBA kind of vibe? Actually, I guess it exists in the NHL and in all the sports at this point. The idea that now we want to be a part of it. Like, I'm a vet. And I can 1 year deal it and try and ring chase here. Like, I feel like they're kind of, the Chiefs are in that spot now, right? Like, I mean, I'll latch on there to try and ring chase with 15.
They got the 1 year deal with Brown, right? I think that's part of it. The 1 year deal. Who they bring in last year? Drew Tranquil got that 1 year sort of vet deal last year.
Right.
He got extensions. He played really well. Absolutely. If I was a player in that situation, I would ring chase with Kansas City. We saw, Suggs did it. Now, he already had a ring, but he did it with the Chiefs in 2019. Yeah, players will continually take discounts to win a championship in Kansas City that have already made their money, right? You're not taking a discount for that first contract, the first big deal, like this quote-unquote second contract. You do it for the third contract, right? Like, let's go win a championship. And then Mahomes makes everyone better. So you don't have to have the best in offense. You can spend other places. But look, the reason why they won last year is because they've drafted and developed so well on defense. Like, that's
Eddie Spaghetti. Right? How many times have you heard your old pal Dave say that same thing? Schwartz and I park our cars in the same garage. Like, that's exactly right. All these things. Like, what can the Bills learn from what Mahomes is doing? And what can the Ravens do? Like, draft as well as the Chiefs have drafted the last couple of years, because that's what's saved their hide, right?
Yes. It's also the draft and development, right? They've had first round picks, Trent McDuffie play well, and seventh round picks, cornerback play well. They drafted linebackers that have played well, and obviously they had to let one walk, but Tranquil fills in. You know, defensive line, we saw like a guy like Karloftis, who just has slowly gone better, right? Like year one, you're like, oh, I don't know, year two, last year, much, much better, right? Even on the offensive side, Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, like you've done a good job of drafting, developing players. Even Rashee Rice, you talked about him earlier, 5 minutes ago, getting where he was at the start of the season to the end of the season, big difference, right? He caught it. I think he set the record for most playoff catches by a wide receiver, right? Like the ability to just continually grow these guys in your program that allows them to let Snead walk, and you have another all-pro cornerback already on the roster. Like you don't need two is nice. Don't need two. One's fine. And so they draft and develop really well. And that's how you have to do it if you have a quarterback who's making 20% of the salary cap. Look, eventually Travis Kelce will be off that roster. So will Chris Jones. I mean, you'll free up a lot of money with those guys. You have to replace them somehow, obviously. Kelce is probably, it's weird to say, but you could probably find a tight end easier than a D tackle, the way Chris Jones rushes the passer. But you know, then those, when those salaries come off the board, you'll have more room to navigate. But you also lose two Hall of Fame players. So you won't be the same team.
Again, let's put a pin in this one and talk about it when we get closer to the season. But I, the thing that's weird with Travis Kelce that we kind of like, it's too, people are too cool to acknowledge that they didn't see this coming, is like, it seemed like Travis Kelce was finished this year, right? Didn't it feel like, okay, yeah, he's lost a gear. And then sure enough, in January, he flipped the switch again. It's like, what games are you playing, old man? What are you up to with this? It's like load management and all of that. What did you do to, like, you played all the games or most of the games during the season?
He had a week off before the Dolphins game when he played incredible, and a week off before the Super Bowl. That helps. Like those are his two best games in the postseason, right? It was the Dolphins game, and then he played well in the first half against the Bills. I was at the Bills game, the Bills Chiefs game in Buffalo, and I was looking at Kelce because he would have a play where he'd run a long distance and come off the field. Like he doesn't have that every down play now, but in special games, you get the special Travis Kelce. And I think this year is going to be, I'm curious where they go with tight end. Like, I don't know if they have, if Gray's that guy, but like, you're going to see a lot of load management, in my opinion, with Kelce, just reps.
But I mean, how much load management can there be with, if Rashee Rice, I don't know what's going to be, but like if he's shelved for half the year, they're really, then now there's no MVS. And for all of the disdain,
I mean,
he caught deserved. No, right. He didn't. That's the only thing he caught last year. But you know, I mean, now you're really getting down to it. You better get somebody in there.
It's very
with
tough.
A high pick, I mean.
It's very tough. The load management thing is very tough to like do in the NFL. So I can say that, Dave, but you're right. Like they're down 14 in the third quarter. It's like, all right, Travis, we wanted to rest you today, but here you go. You know, like, you know, it's hard to do that. But they'll try to find probably sneaky ways, Dave, right? To like get him more rest, make sure training camp, preseason, because you know, Andy Reid plays his guys in the preseason. And like I imagine you might cut back Kelce a little bit there. You might find different ways in middle of games to give him a little more rest if you can. And you know, same with Chris Jones. I mean, Chris Jones is getting up in age. And you know, Chris Jones, it's funny, man. Like, this is not a knock on him, but there are games in the regular season, you don't know he's playing. And then the postseason, he comes, he's like the best player of all time on the field.
They're human beings. Of course, there's they have been there, done that so many times. And it's going to be hard to get up for an early October game. That's the way it is. Right.
So I think that him and Kelce are on sort of this like quote unquote load management play. And that's what makes them so interesting, because I feel like as we enter, and of course we have a long to talk about this, but as we preview next season, it's like, Chiefs get to the postseason, I'm taking the Chiefs. Like they've shown now that they're just trying to get there. Almost like the Lakers. Like the Lakers are now, they're going to do the playing game against New Orleans again. I'm going to pick the Lakers to win that game, because that's what the Lakers do in the postseason. And they're probably going to end up in the Western Conference Finals if they don't play the Nuggets in round one.
Plus one. I love the fandom.
But Dave, why would I pick against them unless they play Denver, of course, early in the postseason? But like their goal is to get to this point healthy. AD's healthy, I think. LeBron's healthy. The rest of the roster's ready to go. That's the point. And now you get in the NBA postseason. Again, I think Denver beats them a 7-game series. They beat anyone a 7-game series. But the idea is like if they don't play Denver, if they're the 8 seed, they they might play them in the Western Conference Finals because they're just trying to get now. They're trying to get to this point. They have a lot of rest in the first round. And the Chiefs feel like that right now. We'll just get to the postseason as healthy as possible. And, of course, we want to play home games and want the bye. But it doesn't work always that way. And let's just get to the postseason.
By the way, I love to debate just about anything. I like hierarchy. I don't like tiers. I like 1, 2, 3. I like win, play, show. I don't like, well, they're all in that conversation. But where Jordan and LeBron are concerned, I know people love this debate. They want to hear it every day of their lives from now till the end of time. But I mean, it's so apples and oranges now. It is comparing Led Zeppelin to the Rolling Stones. Like one had a shelf life that was brief and spectacular with no holes in it. And that's Michael Jordan, okay, we could poke a couple holes in Jordan and Led Zeppelin's, recordography or whatever. But, you know, the Rolling Stones have had a lot of bad spots, but they've also been around for, you know, for five times longer than Led Zeppelin was. Right. I think we now need to start. Yeah, this is the conversation now. Jordan and Rolling LeBron, Stone. Not either or. It's just got to be that way. I mean, it's completely different things we're comparing.
Correct. It is. My mom, by the way, her funeral playlist, Stairway to Heaven, has to be on it. She told me I have to play at her funeral.
is that right?
I think so.
My mother went Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Oh, it's gonna be a tearjerker.
I'm not a big concert person. I don't know. I haven't been a lot. I don't dislike them. My mom went to one though. I think it was in 1972, 73. Rolling Stones, Stevie Wonder, open for Rolling Stones at the Forum. How about that?
That's quite a thing. That would be Eddie's awesome. Old man was at Woodstock. Can't beat that.
No.
It's pretty good. I'm not surprised to hear that about you. I've never. In the dozen years or whatever I've known Jeff Schwartz, I can't ever recall talking about music with you for 17 seconds.
I mean, my mom is classic rock, and then my dad is not. He listens to a variety of stuff. I grew up listening to like West Coast hip hop, so that's like what, like Tupac and it's my Dre.
You didn't have earbuds in or whatever pregame?
No, I did. I listened to two things. I listened to that music and listened to electric dance music. We've been over this before, I think.
I was anything that isn't that you. As long as your answer isn't Korn or Limp Bizkit, I'm okay.
No. We're going to Vegas this weekend. My wife's going to see Mariah Carey with a friend, and then Sunday I think we're going to like a beach club with a DJ. Just sitting at the beach on Sunday.
Jeff Schwartz and his matchy tropical Hawaiian shirt and shorts and those shoes.
Just listen to like DJ Nova play.
Grow up already, would you, Schwartz? Okay. By the way, the correct answer for the Chiefs all time is Tyreek Hill in his prime. That's who you would plug into that roster.
I thought about that.
That's the answer.
They're very fortunate to be able to have and multiple Hall of Famers that would help their team.
Okay, quickly, New York Giants, go. Spaghetti said Eli Manning, then changed it to one of the tight ends, maybe Plexico. How say you?
I mean, how do you not take LT?
I know, it's just no fun.
I don't understand how you don't do that.
You have to. That's the answer.
Give me I think they could use like a Chris Snee again. Like just like an offensive lineman who just can just like as elite. Snee. These answers, LT, I guess. I mean, Plaxico Burress would help, obviously. I saw a stat today that was like, I think it was the Giants, that they had the least amount of first quarter touchdowns in the last 3 years in the NFL, which is just a really bad Daniel Jones stat. And obviously he hasn't played all that time. But the fact is like, that's when you're supposed to score the most touchdowns because you script that entire start of the game. First quarter touchdown score in the last 3 years. The Giants have eight.
You know what you need? You need a Swiss Army knife who knows how to find the end zone through different methods. You're talking about Frank Gifford, number 16.
Okay, Dave, if a player played before you were born, they don't count on this list, okay?
Imagine if you dropped in his prime Frank Gifford out there. Chud McNair, he almost killed him.
Almost died, right, from that clothesline. What's he going to do now if someone tackles him?
All right, LT's no fun. And lastly, the Detroit Lions and shame the devil. It's got to be Billy Sims. It's got to be Billy Sims back there. Greatest running back in Detroit Lions history.
Not Johnson. You don't want a wide receiver for Goff?
Okay, that's fun. Okay, Calvin Johnson it is.
Yeah, I think
Calvin Johnson. Cash settled. Okay, next thing. You're the O-line expert, and then we'll let you go. I would just want to talk to you about this quickly. I don't like that the football gods are having a laugh at our expense. You as an O-line expert, are you especially vexed by the fact that there are three first-round prospects named Fuaga, Fantanu, and Fashanu? It's very confusing. Very confusing.
Fuaga, you're right. Fuaga, Fashanu, and Fatanu. Two West Coast guys and then Olu at Penn State. Yeah, that's actually, I didn't thought about that, but it is funny when you mention it because people will text me about, like, I got a text today about, like, how much do you like Fatanu? And I was like, Washington. Okay, Washington. Yeah.
Well, they're probably confused too. They're like, oh no, I meant the Penn State kid. That's not who I meant.
And what's interesting is they could go like 9, 10, 11. Like they could just go back to back to back at some point in this draft. None will go to your Steelers, right? At 20, there's no, I think they're going tackle or center, right? Probably, maybe.
Well, that's what I want to specifically get into with you. Now, O-line, ad nauseum, have I said, Andy Weidel is there to identify and bring in line of scrimmage dominators with like the attitude people get really into, like he's nasty. And I do think that matters because 300-pound men, like we've talked about, we can assess their agility and their foot speed, their quickness and all that kind of stuff. To me, it feels like the offensive line is where the combine has its value because, okay, they're all 300-pound guys, but like, oh, this guy's plainly quicker and a little bit stronger than the other 300-pound guy. Ergo, how do you miss on that? Is it attitude? Is that the thing that why a guy who has all the attributes doesn't make it at the highest level? Because it doesn't seem like there'd be any explanation for it. We just misread how strong he was.
There's plenty of explanation. I think why guys don't succeed. I think it's very often that they don't want it. I mean, there's a couple examples with, I won't throw guys under the bus, but of guys that have been drafted high that just didn't have it inside of them, which
Greg Robinson. Can't really
judge. Well, who?
Greg Robinson was like the most can't miss guy of a decade, and then he was a bust.
I mean, and Danny Watkins was drafted by the Eagles famously, like didn't really want to play football. But the Greg Robinson one is interesting because this is, I think, the issue at times. If you watch his film in college, nothing he did at Auburn was anything like he'd do in the NFL. Like the college offenses sometimes are so different than what they ask the players to do that when they get into an NFL offense, it's like, oh, they can't do any of the things that they need to do because they didn't do any of them at Auburn. And now we don't let guys develop. They play right now and their confidence gets shot. It gets ruined. But I think more than anything else, Dave, it's two things sort of combined. It's offensive line coach and it's scheme fit, right? You look at like an Andy Heck, a Jeff Stoutland, a Bill Callahan, any guy they draft is good because they develop them. They learn, you know, and they know how to develop those guys. I mean, Stoutland's had guys first round picks to Jordan Mulata, right? Andy Reid. I mean, Heck has had Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith to my brother and Eric Fisher, what he did with the Fisher. I was there for the first year, like to where he got to Fisher. Bill Callahan, anywhere he's been, has done a good job. So a lot of it's offensive line coach and then scheme fits. So I'll give you an example of my career. So the Giants obviously signed me in 2014. They brought in Ben McAdoo. I did not fit that offense. Like they should not have targeted me. I didn't know that at the time. I didn't know what offense we were going to run. But when I was not a fit for that offense. That was a shotgun heavy offense, 2-point stance. You're like, I'm down. I need to have my hand in the dirt. I need to move forward. Like, it wasn't the offense that was fit for me. And they should, to be quite honest with you, they shouldn't have looked at me.
That's what makes my head spin. This is their job. This is all they're doing. Correct. The whole year is trying to figure that out. They don't know the team drafting you. In hindsight, boy, he really doesn't fit what we want to do. Well, how does that happen?
Like, I think part of it is you don't know because of the college film. Again, like there's things that guys just don't do.
That's making an assumption. He's a good enough athlete that we'll be able to teach him to do what we want to do.
Like Amarius Mims, the kid from Georgia.
Right.
He has shown a ton of potential. Hasn't played a lot of snaps. And Pittsburgh might be one to draft him. And it's like one of those things where it's like, I think he's going to be good. I know Duke Manyweather trains him. I know Duke, best friend of mine, Duke thinks he's going to be good. But like, we don't really know. There's not a lot of film. There's not a lot of reps to show the repetition that it takes to be good. And a lot of times, you know this very well, you've been in this job a lot now, there's an ego involved with coaching. And coaches think like they can fix someone, right?
A lot of those guys.
And so they bring in guys that might not fit their scheme. Plus, I think sometimes scouts, personnel guys don't really understand the position, right? Don't understand what a guy does well versus what a guy does.
How could you be a scout and not know what the position is? That seems weird.
Okay, so like, for example, like I got told by people that I was not a good zone blocker or they wouldn't look at me because I was too big. That's the best thing I did. Like reaching a three technique was like the best thing I did. I was great at it. I wasn't great at pulling. Like I just, and they're like, no, you're big and fat and slow at guard. You should be able to pull. I'm like, I was terrible at it. Like, why would you have me do that? I'm not good at it. So, like, I don't know, Dave, those are all the reasons why some guys don't hit. Injuries play a role. And obviously if you get injured as a young player, they kind of can derail your career, but those are sort of all the reasons why offensive linemen don't hit as well. And you look at the guys in this draft and we have very good film on a lot of them. Like, and I think we're seeing offenses in college football transition back to being more, not pro style, but that looks like a professional offensive line. And you look at the guys at the top with Alt and you mentioned Olu and Fuaga and Fatanu, all these guys going down the list. Their film looks like it would in the NFL, and they're being asked to block like they would in the NFL. And I think that's a really good thing for the prospects in this class.
All that said about this, you know, everybody keeps saying tackle, and you know, there are a number of centers that have emerged that look like quality options there too. I don't like in the age of free agency, and that you have 4 years to, like you say, to get this kid to where you want him to be and make a determination if you want to keep him long term. Are you better served to draft for need in this age or back in the 70s or whatever? Because to me, I feel like, I don't know if I'm getting confused. Like, the Steelers taking a center in the first round because they need to have one. They literally don't have one on the roster right now.
Yeah,
I kind of feel like shouldn't Trump Byron Murphy if he is the dominator? Well, if he is the guy, especially the way the game is flowing and how much you want to react to, like, hey, you know what's borderline essential for the winning teams these days is inside pressure. The guys who can do it, three down interior defensive linemen, and this might be one. I kind of feel like, well, you kind of have to take that guy, not the position of need.
I think it depends on, again, not to go back to this, but like where you grade those guys, right? Like if you have them equally graded, Dave, then I think you have to decide. But my only point about, I made this about the Steelers, for example, but really the center position, was we talk about the value of that position. Like, is it as valuable as other positions? I'll tell you this though, was Pouncey valuable to Pittsburgh? Like if you draft that center and he's good, you get 10 to 12, 15 years. It's pretty good value, right, Dave?
People are upset. You know what? People get to be known for positively, teams get to be known positively and negatively for certain attributes. That's something, as a fan of certain teams, I love the consistency of the way teams win. People, you know, in Pittsburgh, people love, like, dude, Steelers, they play defense and they run the ball. And it does feel like, to me, Kahn, Tomlin, Weidel really do want to do exactly that. And the center, and you talk about what the Steelers are known for specifically, from Webster to DeMonte Dawson to Marquise Pouncey. That's a pretty strong lineage. Is Jackson Powers Johnson, from your Ducks, the guy for them to take at number 20?
I think he fit really well with what they want to do. And he the mindset of him, I know him well, like his mindset's very Pittsburgh, like blue collar. He just loves football. Like that's his entire life. Like he is a football guy. You know, he doesn't have many holes. Like when you watch him play, there's not much negative in there. He spazzes out every now and then. But his ability to just be big in the middle of an offense, he's a really good pass protector, which I think will be important because then you have two quarterbacks there that hold the ball as long as possible. So having pass protectors, I actually forgot Wilson was on the Steelers for a second. I was looking at the roster, the depth chart, the offensive line. Wilson's there.
Settles in, you've come around, right? It's going to be Fields ultimately, right? I mean, week one, but I bet you by week eight or so it's Fields. No, you say it's going to be Russ.
Well, I mean, maybe by week eight, but then your season's lost by then if you go to Fields, in my opinion.
True, that's my concern. If, like, you give him the gig and, like, you got to lose it, Russ, before Fields takes it, like, well, what is that? What defines Russ has lost the job? How many losses in the win-loss column is that going to mean?
Like, you're 2-5, you know, like, that's like that. I mean,
I don't think it gets that severe. Yeah, I don't think they'd let it get that bad.
Here's the thing about it, guys. This is the thing that I was arguing with, it was Greg Rosenthal, I think it was. It was like, oh, Don't not guaranteed he's the starter, Wilson starter. I go, but I'm like, the problem with this idea is that there's not a lot of practice time. There's not a lot of time for Justin Fields to take the job from Russell Wilson. There's one practice a day, and the reps are limited. So, like, let's say in a training camp practice between 7-on-7 and team periods, you have, this is your round, 50 reps for the ones. You know who needs all 50 reps for the ones? Russell Wilson does. Like, you can't go 25-and-25. Like, that doesn't help anybody. That doesn't help the offensive line, the wide receivers, the running backs. It doesn't help looking at a defense and playing with your guys in front of you. So even if you go 40-10, Dave, that's not even enough for Fields to show what he can do. And then the preseason, and Tomlin plays guys in the preseason, like most veteran coaches do, right? Like, well, if you split 1-and-1, a series, by the way, a series, like, okay, maybe, I guess, but what does 8 plays really do for you? Nothing. Like, so there's not time. Like, back in the old days when you had 2 practices, you can have Russell Wilson have 1 practice with the ones and Fields have the next practice with the ones. That's one day. You still have another 30 practices coming up. But you get, like, what, you get 6 practices a week now, I think, maybe 5 in training camp and 2 are in pads. And then there's no time to let guys compete like this. You have to decide, in my opinion, early on, like, and it seems like Wilson's that guy. When you open OTAs, I think it's next week, right, Dave? Like, the first practice, if Wilson's under center, that's his job to lose, and he's not going to lose it in the preseason.
I hear you, but I also do think that they brought in Russ, and there was some expectation, if Kenny Pickett is good, he's going to beat this guy out. Then Kenny Pickett, it's like, we can get Russ, we're going to move on from Pickett. Pickett is not Omar Khan's guy. I think that does matter. I think Tomlin liked him, and I think Tomlin ultimately has the say, but I think Khan, that just like any other job out there in the world, like, I didn't draft you, kid. The other guy drafted you, and it does matter. But once Fields is there and available, and they can grab him, they do exactly that. And I think the notion of bringing in Russ changes as soon as they bring in. I wonder the respect level that they have for Russ. Like, well, you kind of said I was going to be the guy. Now you have Justin Fields. I think they would like to roll with Fields.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they were to, in their ideally, Fields would beat out Wilson. That's probably the best outcome for the future of the Steelers. But I don't know if there's enough practice time to make that happen.
They're not going to do
it because they want to do it. Like, they're going to let Wilson try to win that job. And I would imagine that Fields better represents the future for Pittsburgh than Russell Wilson does, right? You've talked about this a lot. Like, what Pittsburgh should really do, in my opinion, is be bad for a season and draft a quarterback. But
they're just not going to do it. So people keep trying to talk that into reality, but it's not going to be. So
they're too prideful to do that. But
it's not prideful. You made it into a negative. They're just not. They're not wired to, like, yeah, let's just have a suctatious season. They're not the Cleveland Browns. They're the Pittsburgh Steelers.
But that's the only way you're going to find the quarterback you need for the future, though. That's the only thing. Like, unless you trade up for something.
Obviously, that's not true. Tom Brady's the best quarterback of all time, and they got him in the 6th round in his underpants. I mean, like, that's Russell Wilson was a 3rd-round pick. You don't have to take a guy in the top 3 picks.
It is an outlier, though. Most quarterbacks in the NFL, the franchise quarterbacks, are first-round draft picks. So you got to take one in the first round.
Okay, first round. Okay, so Mahomes went behind Mitchell Trubisky. So, like, you know, the inexact science, that's what people forget about. It's like, we got to get one of those guys, like, not necessarily, because half those guys that are in the top 5 or 10 picks are going to bust out themselves. Anyway, listen, Jeff Schwartz, you're the best, because I could go on for like what you've started now. Another 3 hours worth of conversation. Look at your texts. Damashek's probably hitting you up to ask you some questions off of some of the stuff that we just talked about here. Jeff Schwartz is smarter than you, Fox Sports. He is an essential follow. Especially right now, because everybody's pretending they know anything about Tyler Guyton or Amarius Mims. They don't. Jeff Schwartz actually does, and his pal Duke Mayweather does too. He's another great follow. Jeff Schwartz, let's catch up. I don't know when. Sometime soon. Maybe when you're out here in LA. Let's go play a round of golf. How about that?
June. I'll be in LA in June.
Perfect. Let's get a foursome going. All right. You are 1 and 2, and I'll be 3, and then we'll get to 4th. Okay. Great, Jeff Schwartz, everybody.
Bye.
And now a quick break.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
There he goes, Eddie Spaghetti. I don't want to hold you up. I know you have a date with Destiny or the Bread Man, or both, Igor Shesterkin and all the rest of it. You're looking forward to it? Anything you want to throw out there that Jeff Schwartz said that caught your ear?
Yeah, with the Giants, he's not wrong. I just think that, you know, that the lack of touchdowns in the first quarter, it's been a bad stretch for quite some time. And I think we're finally at the point where, even if it's not fully Daniel Jones's fault, you got to move on. I understand multiple head coaches, multiple offensive coordinators, not a lot of talent around them, a ton of injuries around them. They're probably going to lose Darren Waller to retirement this year. Giants have a lot of holes, but the problem is they're not going to be worse than they were this past season. So they're going to be like in this purgatory thing. So if they don't get one of these quarterbacks, like, I would also hate to pass up a guy like Neighbors or Adunze, who should be, by all accounts, you know, they're on the track to be these generational wide receivers. So it's a very strange spot for the Giants. But on the flip side, I think I've mentioned this to you before, we're in this weird era of the NFL where it's like, even if you are a second round grade quarterback, you're now going in the first round, not just like the end of the first round, you're going in like the upper half, the top 10 of the first round, which
that's what I'm getting pretty at, against, right? Too, that's what I'm so. Getting. The draft process, which is 6 months, lasts so long that you can kind of like, you wind up with JJ McCarthy in your brain, like, well, he's one of those guys. He's one of those first round guys where you forget that 4 months ago you didn't think that about him. You've just heard enough people pound the table for him. You're like, well, maybe he's that guy. Maybe he is a guy who can carry a team to a Super Bowl in his first 4 or 5 years. You know, I hear what you're saying. There are a lot of frauds, in other words.
Yeah, it's a bad spot. And then it goes back to what you were saying. You take Need or you take BPA. And it's like, again, you have not had a dynamic receiver since, you know, Odell Beckham, who they had to trade away. And it's like, if you have Neighbors there and if you have Odunze there, you take them and then, you know, hope for the best, the quarterback position, and you take one of them next year. And I'm tired of people saying, oh, the next year's class is not as good. Like, you never know. There's always a Joe Burrow. Like, Jaden Daniels is not supposed to be in this part. I mean, neither is McCarthy, or for that matter, if Knicks or Penix go in the first round, they weren't supposed to be either. So I'm okay with pushing it, you know, kicking it to next year, trade up then if you have to, because I think there's still enough talent. They will kind of etch out 7 wins or so. So it's just, you know, right now it's a very interesting time in sports. We're close to the draft. We're hearing all these rumors right now for, you know, right before the NHL playoffs start. So I kind of could exhale a little bit. NBA playoffs, the seeding is here. The play-in's happening. I'm still not that nervous. And the baseball season for us is going pretty well. So right now on April 15th, I'm not doing too bad.
No. And like I said at the top, hockey's for nerds, so that's no matter to me. What do I care that the Penguins may not be in the playoffs, looking like they're not going to be in the playoffs? But so what? Because the Buccos are 11-5, and that's cool. Go ahead, Spaghetti. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we're recording this about, 4 hours, 5 hours before Rangers puck drop versus the Senators, and it could go very poorly. Like, they could lose this game, not lose the Metro, lose the number one overall seed, the AK, the President's Trophy. But on the flip side, it could go really well. Panarin can get his 50th goal. Matt Rembe can get into a fight tonight, which I'd love to see in person, and they could win the President's Cup and then win the Metro, which I'd be really, really happy with. The teams in MSG, the Knicks getting the 2 seed after like the Bucks and the Cavs and a bunch of teams are ahead of them, and the Rangers, you know, people had it was like, oh no, it's for sure the Devils and it's for sure the Canes way ahead of the Rangers. Rangers being the number one team in terms of points in the NHL. It's crazy what's going on in Midtown Manhattan. So I am very excited.
It was so much fun watching that Rags Islanders game. Didn't have a care in the world. Little did I know that the Penguin season was probably going to be over by the time the stroke of midnight hit. Very sad. Maybe they can still come back, but enjoy your Rags game. Glad we'll hear the story later in the week. I talk about a lot is big games, who you watch them with and who you get to communicate with while you're watching those is everything to me. And you in a hospital room with your old man and the family. That was a great story. And we'll hear that. Best to him. Glad to hear he's doing well.
Yeah.
Upcoming this week, like we say, we have we got two more shows yet to go here. We got to track down Martin Weiss to get some NBA forecasting. Me, you, and Hench will get in on the NBA and the Stanley Cup playoffs. So much to talk about, and we're just now getting it going this week. Stick around with us on Extra Points Network. All the great shows going for you. Check them all out. And until next time, thanks so much, sports fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.